Problem Phrases, the Book of Galatians. Another factor contributing to the misinterpretation of Rav Shaul is the language he uses, especially in Romans and Galatians, in discussing the believer's relationship to the Torah. We have two specific phrases in mind: upo nomen, under the law, and erga nomou, works of the law. When Shaul uses these terms, it is generally in a rather negative light. Look, for example, at Romans 6:14, which reads, "For you are not under law, but under grace." Here Shaul is stressing that the believer in Yeshua is dependent on Messiah for his salvation, which he can only receive through the grace of God. An example of the second phrase, works of the law, is found in Galatians 2, verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by works of law, but by the faith of Yeshua the Messiah." Whatever works of law means, it is clearly being used in a negative sense, denoting something opposed to having faith in Yeshua for salvation. Indeed, Shaul rebuked the Galatians for trusting in works of law. In these passages, Shaul was teaching against legalism, the attempt to earn, merit, or keep one's salvation through obedience to law. But there were no sufficient words to express legalism. Instead, he had to use certain phrases which, interpreted incorrectly, could easily lead one to believe that he was against the Torah. C.E.B. Cranfield has shed much light on the meaning of these two Greek phrases, helping us to perceive what Shaul actually meant, as well as to understand more fully his true stand on the Torah. Because Cranfield's remarks are so pertinent, we will quote him at length. Quote, "It will be well to bear in mind the fact, which as far as we know had not received attention before it was noted, that the Greek language of Paul's day possessed no word group corresponding to our legalism, legalist, and legalistic. This means that he lacked convenient terminology for expressing a vital distinction, and so was surely seriously hampered in the work of clarifying the Christian position with regard to the law. In view of this, we should always, we think, be ready to reckon with the possibility that Pauline statements, which at first sight seem to disparage the law, are really directed not against the law itself, but against that misunderstanding and misuse of it for which we now have a convenient terminology." In this very difficult terrain, Paul was pioneering. If we make due allowance for these circumstances, we shall not be so easily baffled or misled by a certain impreciseness of statement which we shall sometimes encounter." End of quote. We encounter the same dilemma in the Hebrew language. There are no Hebrew words which can easily convey the concepts of legalism or legalist. Thus Shaul, whether using his Hebrew-oriented mind or his Greek language, was hindered in his attempts to explain that legalism was not what God intended. From our understanding of the true nature of the Torah and Rav Shaul's theology, it is our opinion that he did an excellent job of overcoming this language barrier. The next detrimental theological tradition we must bring to light is the long-standing misinterpretation of Nomos Torah in the book of Galatians. This is the book that says, quote, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." End of quote. Galatians 5, verse 18. Moreover, such people have, quote, "fallen from grace," end of quote. Galatians 5, verse 4. In addition, quote, "I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you," end of quote. Galatians 5, verse 2. These rather harsh-sounding statements, among a host of others in this let, have been used for centuries against any believer who desired to follow the Torah, especially in regard to circumcision, Shabbat observance, or any other non-moral issue. What are we to make of them? The explanation is rather simple. All we need to know are two basic facts. The first is the hermeneutical principle established by Acts 21, verse 20. If it appears that Shaul was teaching against the Torah in any way, that impression must give way to the truth of how he lived his life. If Acts 21 tells us that Shaul lived his life according to the Torah and encouraged others to do the same, then we will miss the boat if we interpret Galatians as coming from an anti-Torah viewpoint. The second fact to bear in mind is the hermeneutical principle of context, especially the context of the whole book. To be specific, the context of the letter to the Galatians is that of justification by faith. Shaul was warning them not to make a law out of the Torah. By turning God's teaching and covenant into a list of legalistic laws, the Galatians were abandoning the principle of justification by faith and resorting to justification by works. They were using the Torah as a means of earning, meriting, or keeping the eternal salvation which they had received by grace through faith in the finished work of Yeshua. Shaul provides several indications that this was the case with the Galatians. The first was in chapter 2, verse 16. Quote, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Messiah Yeshua, even we have believed in Messiah Yeshua, that we may be justified by faith in Messiah, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." End of quote. The issue on Shaul's mind was God's requirement for our justification. Looking at the Greek of Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, we find that the definite article before the phrase works of law has been left out. It is not, as many English versions translate it, works of the law. If the translator adds the definite article, it helps the reader to assume that the law is a reference to the Torah. In fact, however, it is not. Works of law is a phrase indicating a man-made system of works, of which performance-based acceptance is the core belief. Ergon nomou should be translated as works of law. Thus, Galatians 2:16 should read, quote, "Knowing that a man is not justified by works of law, but through faith in Messiah Yeshua, even we have believed in Messiah Yeshua, that we may be justified by faith in Messiah, and not by works of law, since by works of law shall no flesh be justified." End of quote. Receive circumcision, Messiah will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. End of quote. They say, if you do what the Torah says and circumcise your sons, you are no longer following Yeshua. Our response? Shaul himself provides the key for the correct understanding of this passage in verse 4, in which he tells us that anyone who observes Torah while, quote, seeking to be justified by law, end of quote, will encounter serious difficulties. Some of the Galatians thought that obeying the Torah or any set of standards would cause them to receive their spiritual heritage, justification before God. However, the moment a person believes that obedience can secure righteousness, he has moved from the realm of grace into that of works. The blessings of God, he thinks, are attainable as a result of what he does. Shaul, on the other hand, says that such a person has fallen from the principle of grace to the principle of law. In effect, when one believes such an erroneous teaching, the atonement accomplished by Yeshua has no value for him, since he is relying on what he does instead of what Yeshua did for him. The teachings of the Torah were never intended to be used for such a purpose. Eternal salvation is based on receiving the promises of God, which are given by grace to those who do not deserve them. The only acceptable response to this grace is to receive it by faith, rather than attempt to earn it by doing something. If we obey the Torah in order to enjoy the blessings of the grace of God received by faith, we are not fallen from grace. Rather, we are embracing the grace of God for our lives. Put another way, if man tries to earn the blessings of God instead of appropriating Messiah's life, he has abandoned the principle of grace and fallen to the principle of law. To live the Torah is to live our new creation life in Messiah. It is actually His life in us, a life of grace and truth. Thus, the Torah is God's revelation to those born of Him concerning how they are to act in line with the truth of the good news. Galatians 2, verse 14. Real biblical faith is the kind of trust in God that always results in a changed life. The Torah, as well as the Brit Chadashah, describes what that changed life looks like. It does not cause that changed life. That is the miraculous work of God, born of His grace. We must leave Galatians now. Our point was to establish the fact that the statements in the letter which seem to teach against the Torah are not against it at all if one uses the Torah properly. There were some Galatians who were turning Torah into law by using it as a means of justification rather than as a way of life resulting from their justification. Let us turn now to the book of Romans. The theme of Shaul's letter to the Romans is similar to that of his epistle to the Galatians, only more comprehensive. The main topic is justification, or righteousness. The same root is used for both in Hebrew and Greek. In Romans, the rabbi is seeking to expound on the theme of God's righteousness in all its various aspects. As in Galatians, he also must deal with the concept of the Torah, for there were some in Rome as well who sought to be justified or made righteous by following the system of law that they thought was the Torah. Since the themes are similar, the traditions of interpretation of the law passages are also similar. The church has consisted mostly of non-Jews throughout the centuries, most of whom have neither comprehended nor appreciated the Torah of Moshe. Therefore, they have taken little care to interpret the law passages properly. There are two key passages in Romans which have been especially misunderstood by many exegetes, resulting in a gross anti-Torah sentiment among the people of God. The first is in Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Quote, "For Messiah is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." End of quote. Many understand this verse to mean that Yeshua put an end to the Torah, that anyone who believes in Him no longer has any responsibility to follow the Torah because Yeshua followed it for him. A closer look at the Greek, however, reveals a different meaning. The Greek word translated end is the word telos. This word actually stresses the goal or purpose for something. When used in this verse, we can say that Messiah is the goal, telos, of the law. Or, as Stern translates it, quote, "Messiah is the goal at which the Torah aims." End of quote. In other words, in the context, Shaul is speaking of people seeking the righteousness of God. They should seek it as revealed in the Torah and most fully realized in the Messiah. Stern writes, quote, "The goal at which the Torah aims is acknowledging and trusting in the Messiah, who offers on the ground of this trusting the very righteousness they are seeking. They would see that the righteousness which the Torah offers is offered through Him and only through Him." End of quote. Thus, instead of teaching that through faith in Messiah the Torah is now done away with, this verse teaches that the Torah's goal is to point someone to the righteousness found through faith in Messiah. A sinner can only be made righteous through faith in the Messiah. However, as a new creation in Messiah after receiving Yeshua, he is now able to live the Torah lifestyle through the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. In so doing, he is living out who he now is, the righteousness of God in Messiah. The Torah is the revealed righteousness of God. The Torah lifestyle is the living out of that righteousness. What is it that is written on the new creation heart and mind? The very Torah of God. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Finally, we will look at one of the passages most commonly used to demonstrate that the believer has no responsibility to follow the Torah, the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. To be sure, this is a difficult passage to understand completely. However, it can be interpreted accurately enough to confirm that it has nothing to do with eliminating a believer's responsibility to live the Torah, to live the righteousness of God, that he has become as a new creation in Messiah. The key questions that we must ask about this passage are these. What has died? What has changed? Was it the Torah that died, or was it something else? We ask these questions because the first half of the chapter speaks about a death, a separation, a change that occurred when Messiah came into our lives. We know from reading Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, that the Torah could not have died. It is God's eternal word. Therefore, something else must have died. What has changed is our relationship to the Torah because of our changed relationship to sin. Before we knew Messiah's righteousness by faith, we attempted to use the Torah as a means of earning righteousness, something it was never intended to be. Only one outcome could have resulted from such an illegitimate usage, and that is condemnation, because such works righteousness could never remove our sin. When God brought us to faith in Messiah, however, everything changed. By faith, we transferred our trust from works we attempted to do ourselves to the finished work of Yeshua. Our new reality is that Messiah has atoned for our sin and made us new creations. In other words, we submitted to God's righteousness found in Yeshua instead of relying on man's righteousness through our own efforts. Thus, our relationship to the Torah has changed. Before, because we were using it wrongly by attempting to earn our justification through following it, all the Torah could do was condemn us. Now, because we believe in Messiah and are trusting in God to justify us, the Torah has become something completely different. Just as its author designed it to be, it is, quote, holy, righteous, and good, end of quote. Romans 7, verse 12. Our relationship to the Torah can change, according to Shaul, because the problem was not the Torah, it was sin. Quote, therefore, did that which is good, Torah, become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin by affecting my death through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. End of quote. Romans 7, verse 13. For years, many have been hearing a different interpretation of this crucial passage. Now we want a new voice to be heard. Listen to it one more time as a summary. This passage teaches that our real enemy was sin, not the Torah. Because we are new creations in Messiah, our entire relationship to sin has changed. Therefore, our entire relationship to the Torah has changed. Before Messiah, sin caused the Torah to be a book which, because we followed it in an attempt to earn righteousness, largely served to condemn us. But Messiah has shown us that we cannot earn righteousness. Rather, it is a gift from God to all who trust in the sacrificial atonement and subsequent resurrection of Messiah. Hence, after we trusted in Messiah, the Torah became for us what it was really meant to be all along, a holy, righteous, and good book. Since the unredeemed did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own righteousness through legalism, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For an unredeemed or unregenerate person to take the Torah and try to do it, to try to attain the righteousness that only comes from God, it changes the Torah from grace to law, Grace is righteousness that comes from God. Law, or legalism, is man's attempt to establish his own righteousness. Romans 10, verse 3. By the Torah, you shall live. By legalism, you shall be both judged and condemned. Romans 10:3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Summing it all up, let us conclude this chapter by returning to an image we introduced earlier, a powerful one which crystallizes everything we have been saying about the true Torah. We are speaking of the mirror analogy found in the first chapter of the book of James. The mirror. The true Torah is our walk of faith. Faith is taking God at His word regarding who He is and who we, His children, are, His bride and His people. The true Torah is for us a mirror, reflecting who we now are as ones who have been redeemed and made anew by the finished work of the Messiah. Rav Shaul understood this completely and carefully exposed the age-old legalistic tendency of men throughout his letters. Yaakov adds to our understanding of the true Torah in his letter when he says, quote, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says," end of quote. James chapter 1, verse 22. Why? Because it is telling us who we are. How do we know that this is how Yaakov understood the Torah? By his next statement in verse 23, quote, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." End of quote. Notice what this is saying. When we read the word and then do not do just what it says, we have looked at our own face in the mirror and then gone away and forgotten what we looked like. The Word of God is the mirror in which we see who we now are, what we look like. Because the work of Messiah is a finished work, all that is left for us to do is to rejoice in the finished work of Messiah, our new creation self, and then behave consistently, our walk of faith, with who we now are. The true Torah tells us, like a mirror, what we look like. That is, it tells us what behavior would be consistent with who we now are, the righteousness of God in Messiah. Romans 5, verse 19. Torah is God's teaching to men about righteousness, what it is and how it behaves. The true believer, anyone who is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, does not do in order to become. He does because he is what God has made him, the righteousness of God in Messiah. Thus Yaakov writes, quote, "I will show you my faith by my works," end of quote. James 2, verse 18. The true Torah is the walk of faith, faith and rest in the finished work of Messiah. Quote, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." End of quote. Isaiah 30, verse 15. Instead, quote, "Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." End of quote. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. These words of Rav Shaul summarize perfectly why and how man has perverted the true Torah of God into a system of works by which he believes he can establish his own righteousness. Read the rabbi's words once again and think about them carefully. Quote, "Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." End of quote. Yaakov, fully comprehending this, declares, quote, "I will show you my faith by my works," end of quote. James 2:18. Quote, "The man who looks intently into the perfect Torah," the what? The perfect Torah that gives freedom. That gives what? Freedom. Freedom for what? freedom to be who we now are. And continues to do this, not forgetting who he is, but doing who he is. He will be blessed in what he does. End of quote. James 1:25, our paraphrase. There is a righteousness that is by the Torah. Romans 10 verse 5. It is a righteousness that is ours in God. Romans 10 verse 3. And it is by faith. Romans 10 verse 6. This is the good news of Romans 10 verse 16. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Instead, they and mankind through the ages have developed the concept of law. As we have seen, performance-based acceptance is a detrimental theological idea all in itself.